Great, thanks. Welcome everyone to the last session of the day. This session follows the structure of the previous ones. I will be chairing the session. I'm Yoros Artopoulos from the Cyprus Institute, and I'm responsible for the digital cultural heritage community, the services for the digital cultural heritage community of the NEFOS Europe project. And I will try to make an introduction regarding the needs and tools that we have identified and we are trying to respond to of the community, and also to map briefly the state of the art in the area, and in order to make for you to make sense on the list of the target communities and groups in the field that we have been trying to service with the development of our methods and tools that you will be following later on today. And I will also, before I give the floor to our presenters here today, who will be demonstrating all the necessary information about the services that were developed, I will also try to briefly illustrate a couple of the services that we developed at the Cyprus Institute, which also have been used by a diverse set of groups and for different purposes, and I will also show you how we did this. So briefly and very quickly, the EOSC-related principles that are relevant for the cultural heritage community include good practices and standards regarding the creation, accessing and processing of heritage data, the data management, the verification of data and their semantic enrichment, as well as, of course, data visualization. I will try to map the state of the art, as I said, through a few examples from major infrastructures, some of the major and important infrastructures in the field, and namely the DARIA ERIC, which is the European Infrastructure on Digital Humanities and the Arts, as well as networks of networks of communities and researchers and scholars that are operating under the umbrella of this big infrastructure that is Europeana, as well as the Time Machine network. So for us to see some examples, and I do this specifically because I want to highlight and to combine how the bottom up emerging needs from the communities in the field with the top-down priorities of EU initiatives. Okay, so looking at the bottom-up now, last year's DARIA annual event, for example, we focused on the importance and the development and the technical details of developing interfaces for the GLAM industry. GLAM stands for galleries, libraries, archives, and museums, and also for the development of interfaces for research infrastructures. One of the, if not the most important event of the year, the Digital Humanities and Heritage Conference, which will be taking place in Zagreb later in November, will be focusing on the use of digital technologies within heritage as both methodology and tools. And finally, another relevant event, which will be co-organized by the Department of Digital Humanities at the University here in Budapest, together with DARIA, will be focusing on networks and networking in the humanities, while in previous years they focused on data linking and databases, semantic networks, and the uses of semantic web and data visualization. So it becomes clear that these are probably some of the most prominent and main needs of the field through these examples. In the same time, in parallel, to these initiatives. Looking at the policy landscape, it is nowadays widely acknowledged that the digitalization of our cultural heritage promotes dialogue among the communities of citizens by enabling new understandings of the past and more accurate interpretations of historical interactions between the agency of human actors and the environment. And true to this effort, data sets that are generated by European and regional initiatives in digitizing cultural content for preservation and online access have been growing and going beyond the 2D information and are developing 3D models and assets, software API, APIs, standards and metadata schemas, as well as online repositories for semantically enriched assets. Looking beyond these initiatives here, trying to go to see what are the trends for going beyond the state of the art, I would like to mention the Time Machine initiative, the Time Machine approach, according to which digitalization of the already existing knowledge is only the first step in a long series of possible information extraction processes, as there is much more knowledge to be gained, to be discovered, through the application of cutting-edge computational methods in heritage to explore multiple scenarios and hypotheses about the past. And this is the map of the current initiatives of creating time machines across Europe and in the region. And of course, we are there. We are developing a time machine for Nicosia, and we are learning through that experience to develop new tools and practices. Right, so having covered the main priorities of the field, we can move on now to the services that we are developing and our service portfolio, as we say, which enables interdisciplinary studies to be conducted by humanities scholars, museum curators, and researchers with background in archaeology, history, social sciences, and architecture through the creation of online community-driven dynamic repositories of data sets of cultural heritage collections and research-generated semantically enriched data sets, as well as the creation of virtual museums for providing access to remote digital collections. And I will start from the latter, which is the first service that I would like to present today, which is an online virtual reality environments toolkit. The OVRET service, as we call it, aims to support the community to use the provided tools, workflows, and plugins to create immersive environments for virtual museums and interactive collections of cultural artifacts. It is the target group communities. It is addressed to archaeologists, researchers in history and architecture, and museums. And it provides instructions for the application of photogrammetric techniques and tools for the creation of 3D digital assets, a tutorial on the creation of an immersive environment in virtual reality, as well as the necessary documentation and instructions. I will pass this. It accepts the integration of specific file formats and that are standardized. The documentation is provided not only as a textual in a textual form, but also through video tutorials and links to the relevant information. I want to stop very, very quickly to one important aspect, which is that we provide different routes, different directions to the generation of these 3D digital assets. So we do provide a custom created documentation for the application of photogrammetric techniques. We also have the development of the See Here for a cultural heritage repository service that Mikhailo will be presenting later on. And of course, there are other services on NEFOS which could support the creation of 3D models of larger scales, such as terrain models. And one important aspect is that we have been also developing this service in a way so that it could ingest standardized 3D file formats from online repositories, such as the Europeana repository on Sketchfab, actually, which this opens the door and allows a more wider adoption of the service. And of course, there are instructions regarding the implementation of all these tools in creating VR environments. What you see on your screen is, of course, a demo environment where all the prefabs and the scripts that are provided in the instructions could be used by small museums and creators to, as you can see, not only generate the 3D models of the 3D representations of their assets, but also create this environment for virtual environment for remote access that also accepts 2D annotation information, metadata, video, sounds, etc. Responding to both the identified priorities and the needs of the cultural heritage communities, as presented earlier, our second service regards the access to the necessary tools for the development of an online content management system that can serve as a virtual research environment that we call Clouder for DCH. This is the last presentation of the session today, so I won't go into detail. I just want to mention that the main features of the, and it's, if you will, its selling points are that it supports a variety of data types, it allows for flexible metadata representation, it offers an automatic metadata extraction, and enables data visualizations. It has flexible metadata representation. Maria, the last presenter of the session, will go more into detail, but I just want to mention it here as an important point that there are like generic metadata that are generated that the user is asked to create when uploading a file, but also automated metadata that can be generated by specific extractors. And another point that I want to highlight before you see it in detail by Maria is that we have been trying to integrate like specific previewers that would allow for meaningful data visualization tools in the platform, which means that through these previewers, as they are called, the users of this online content management system of this platform would be able to use specific tools that respond to their needs, as you can see here, like changing the lighting on a 3D object or conducting measurements on the object. Okay, and another important previewer is that of GIS datasets that allows the integration of shapefiles and geotiffs in a GIS environment. Furthermore, a brief note with regards to the implementation of standards in the field. This is this was pursued as it is defined by the relevant EU initiatives, which suggest that any communication across platforms requires the provision of meaningful metadata, the use of standardized ontologies, the use of widely adopted knowledge representation languages, the compliance of metadata with specific encoding, and the introduction of a common set of principles for data interlinking in the semantic web. And all these are taken care of and are becoming possible through the Clouder for DCH platform, which responds to the needs for both semantic interoperability and technical interoperability. These are the links of the two services that I presented. I'm not going to repeat again what these services provide. I only want to highlight that we have two versions of the instructions for the Clouder for DCH. One that is addressed to users who would like to use the instance that is already up and running and is stored on our service at the Cyprus Institute, and a version of it that is addressed to developers who could install locally and develop and adapt their own instance of Clouder for DCH. Going quickly to these examples that I mentioned, examples of application, just to get a grasp of the breadth of the applications that are currently developing on top of our services. One of which is a Marie Curie project that looks on simulating through agent-based modeling the collapse of historic cities in the region, and through the integration on Clouder of the online service of NetLogo, which is the most widely used ABM simulation environment among archaeologists. Of course, which has started producing results, scientific results that are disseminated. Another one is about a project that is funded by structural funds, which focuses on built heritage and integrates multi-discipline data sets that regard the study of cultural heritage, of architecture, of historical architecture. I'm not going to leave the presentation here in the interest of time. Then the Cloud of Odysseus is used also for educational purposes by master's students who develop online communities about the valorization of either inaccessible or unknown examples of cultural heritage that allow them to annotate and exchange information that comes, of course, that is linked on the 3D models as annotated information you see here. And also, what it was mentioning an example from the glam industry. We have been interacting with an Erasmus Plus consortium from Italy, Greece, and Cyprus who are working on Museum AR and have been testing our service, and they have been giving us feedback. And finally, we have been serving academics and students from the Technical Universities of Munich regarding the public activation and dissemination of their academic results. So these diverse examples of application that I briefly presented today respond to the overarching efforts of the communities of heritage and digital humanities in enabling remote access to knowledge and facilitating communication by means of online repositories. This effort becomes of paramount importance in our era where remote collaboration is at the center of every societal transformation promoted by the European Commission. Concluding, NEFOS Europe supports some of the most widely identified efforts in digital cultural heritage, responding to the need for online data management, which contributes in digitally studying heritage, as well as to the need for processing, visualizing, and interacting with data for the sustainable safeguarding of heritage. We envision that these efforts will contribute in empowering European Union's mission towards building resilient futures for our societies. Thank you very much and for your attention. And I would like to ask if there is any pressing question or we could move straight to the next presentation.